cyber attack fallout.
There's a real question here as to what the U.S. government can or should do.
Backlash over legal pot.
What's going on in Colorado right now violates federal law.
Au revoir, Colbert.
I know that this is an emotional night for a lot of you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The finger pointing in the wake of the hack attack that's rocked Hollywood has been aimed directly at North Korea. And now the U.S. is calculating how it should respond. We're live with White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Steve, North Korea is the prime suspect in what the White House describes as a destructive and serious national security issue. U.S. intelligence believes the Kim Jong-un regime hacked Sony Pictures computers in retribution for the movie The Interview, portraying the assassination of the North Korean leader. Spokesman Josh Earnest said the U.S. does plan a proportional but not necessarily public countermove.
An appropriate response is something that is not always obvious.
Now, the government could go public with evidence of North Korean involvement as early as today. And Steve, the president will likely address this bizarre case at an afternoon news conference.
Well, the decision by Sony Pictures to scrap The Interview in the face of hacker threats brought one big name into the fight to try to save the comedy. CBS's Elaine Quijano.
In an interview with Deadline Hollywood posted Thursday, actor George Clooney revealed he'd been working behind the scenes for a week, circulating a petition that argued against giving in to the attackers' demands. No one would sign.
Kim Masters of The Hollywood Reporter says for Sony Pictures and other studios, there's a bottom line to protect.
They're not trying to be crusaders for free speech. What they're trying to do is run a business and make money for their shareholders.
Now you see, the new world is inevitable.
Paramount stepped in to stop some theaters from showing another North Korea spoof, Team America, in place of The Interview. The next best business opportunity for some American companies may be found in Cuba. This week's historic thaw could be a boon for everything from construction companies to cruise lines. Stephen Joyce is CEO of Choice Hotels.
Close to 4 million customers have already expressed a desire to go to Cuba. That's what goes to the Bahamas every year. This is a closer, bigger island. There's historic ties. It will change the nature of the Caribbean.
The U.S. hopes to open an embassy in Cuba in a matter of months. Two states, Nebraska and Oklahoma, are going to battle with their common neighbor, Colorado. The states are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to declare Colorado's legalization of marijuana unconstitutional. Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning says residents of his state are buying pot there and bringing it back home.
This contraband has been heavily trafficked into our state. While Colorado reaps millions from the production and sale of pot, Nebraska taxpayers have to bear the cost.
Colorado's attorney general says he'll fight vigorously to defend the law. From misbehavior on presidential trips to breaches at the White House fence, there have been a lot of troubling questions for the Secret Service. CBS's Pam Coulter says a report suggests some answers.
The Secret Service needs an overhaul. That's the conclusion of an expert panel, which recommends hiring more agents, beefing up training, and getting a new leader from outside agency ranks. Ronald Kessler, author of a book about the Secret Service, says that's key.
You have people who are appointed director who are insular, who don't want to take on the real challenge of reforming the Secret Service.
While the president has confidence in the men and women sworn to protect him and his family, a spokesman said it's clear changes are needed. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
U.S. officials say three top ISIS leaders in Iraq have been killed in recent American airstrikes. One of them is believed to be the head of operations in that country. The next wave of American troops for Iraq will be deployed in a couple of weeks. In northern Australia, eight children have been found dead and the mother of seven of them injured with stab wounds. The police inspector says they're trying to piece together what happened.
We're speaking to a range of people. We're speaking to anybody that's even had associations with this family in the last 2 to 3 days.
The children range in age from 18 months to 15 years. Investors are hoping for a three-day winning streak for stocks. S&P futures point to a higher opening this morning on Wall Street. They're up about 7 points. Over the last 2 days, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gained more than 700 points. Yesterday's 421-point rise was the best one-day gain in 3 years. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This is on track to be a great year for stock investors after 2013, which saw the S&P 500 rise by 30%. So all in all, I think investors should be very happy with where things stand currently.
The markets have been driven higher by Fed assurances that interest rates won't be raised right away. The nation's colleges and universities are about to face a new report card. CBS's Barry Bagnato joins us live from Washington.
Concerned about rising student debt, especially among low-income students, the Obama administration is proposing a system that judges colleges and universities based on graduation and retention rates, the ability of grads to pay back loans, and accessibility for first-generation students. Carol Geary Schneider of the Association of American Colleges and Universities worries parents and students will consider these education quality ratings.
You're not suggesting that simply a change in the title of this program would solve your problems?
Actually, I am. Call this something like a low-income opportunity index.
Anything else, she says, would be misleading. Steve?
In Baltimore, 18-time Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps faces trial today in his drunken driving case. If convicted on the charges, he faces up to a year in jail. Phelps, attempting a swimming comeback, was suspended by athletic officials after his September arrest, and he went into rehab a short time after the arrest. On TV, last night's Colbert Report began like so many other shows the last 9 years.
Thank you, nation.
But the crowd paying tribute to the Comedy Central satirist was seeing the last of Colbert's bombastic character in a star-studded finale.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when.
Well, we know we'll see the real Colbert next year when he replaces the retiring David Letterman on the CBS Late Show. Also heading off to retirement is our own Peter Mayer, who filed his last live report for this broadcast earlier. One of the best reporters and people in the business is spending his last day at the White House, a place he's covered for nearly 40 years. We're going to miss him, and we wish him well. When you make a phone call, who might be listening in? CBS's Jim Shenevy tells us.
There's a flaw in mobile phone networks that could allow hackers to listen into your calls and read your text messages. At least that's the claim from security experts attending a hacker conference in Germany. The flaw is in the global telecom network known as Signal System 7, or SS7, which allows cellular carriers to route calls, texts, and other services. Experts say they're not really flaws, rather functions that were built into SS7 for other purposes, including handing off calls from tower to tower to keep people connected while driving down the road. Apparently, hackers have found a way to repurpose the features for surveillance. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
The maker of Hellman's mayonnaise has dropped its lawsuit against the company behind a product called Just Mayo, because it has now promised to address labeling issues with industry groups and regulators. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday, the 19th of December. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.